Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey friends, and welcome to the Now Hear This Canby podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm James Walton, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A group of West Coast scientists and medical experts on Tuesday night reviewed and unanimously concluded that the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine is safe and effective for children 5 to 11 years of age, clearing the way for shots to be made available to younger children in Oregon as early as Wednesday. The Oregon Health Authority confirmed it will inform healthcare providers that vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds can begin this week. On Friday, October 29th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, that's the FDA, authorized the use of the vaccine in 5 to 11-year-olds, and the CDC affirmed that decision on Tuesday. The Western States Scientific Safety Review Work Group, which had been advising the governors of Oregon, Washington, California, and Nevada on vaccine safety and effectiveness throughout the pandemic, reviewed and affirmed the federal decisions Wednesday morning. The work group thoroughly reviewed safety data for the vaccine, including the absence of any severe adverse events among vaccine recipients in the clinical trial. Reactions were mild and similar to those seen in adolescents and adults, and with other vaccines routinely recommended for children, and were less common at ages 5 through 11 years than at 16 through 25 years. It is completely normal for parents and kids to have questions about vaccines, Brown continued. I urge you to reach out to your family doctor, healthcare provider, or pharmacist and get your questions answered today. You can call your provider or visit Get Vaccinated Oregon to find a vaccine location near you with a pediatric dose available. Pharmacies can also provide flu vaccines to children age 3 and older. Washington, Oregon, and Nevada joined California's COVID-19 Scientific Safety Review Work Group in October of 2020. The work group, made up of nationally acclaimed scientists with expertise in immunization and public health, has concurrently and independently reviewed the FDA's actions related to the COVID-19 vaccines. It will continue to evaluate other COVID-19 vaccines as they go through the federal process. The group's recommendations have never meaningfully differed from those of the federal health agencies like the FDA and the CDC. A Beaver Creek man who advanced conspiracy theories about the 2020 election was sentenced Monday for discharging a firearm into the Mark O. Hatfield United States Courthouse in downtown Portland in January. Cody Levi Melby, age 40, was sentenced to 5 years federal probation. Said Scott Eric Asfog, acting U.S. Attorney for Oregon, quote, Cody Melby is a disabled combat veteran who, after becoming detached from his mental health support system, made an extraordinarily poor and dangerous decision to fire a gun at the Hatfield Courthouse. Fortunately, nobody was injured during this incident. Asfog said the sentence would ensure Melby, quote, receives the treatment he needs while also protecting the community. Prosecutors allege that at approximately 7:35 p.m. on January 8, 2021, Melby jumped over a security fence at the Hatfield Federal Courthouse and fired several rounds into the building's exterior with a 9mm handgun. Two courthouse security officers exited the building and approached Melby after observing him on a closed-circuit security camera. Melby told the officers he had a gun, and the officers placed him in handcuffs without further incident. Federal Protective Service officers dispatched to the scene located 5 spent 9mm bullet casings, 3 spent bullets, 3 bullet holes, and plywood affixed to the building's stone columns, and damage to the metal soffit above the building's main entrance. After his arrest, Melby was charged by criminal complaint with destruction of government property. Later, on January 21, 2021, a federal grand jury in Portland returned a one-count indictment charging Melby with possession of a firearm in a federal facility. On October 14, 2021, Melby pleaded guilty to the charge. Bullet hole in plywood sheeting affixed to the U.S. courthouse, allegedly fired by Melby. Melby is a U.S. Army veteran of the Iraq War, a former Oregon National Guard member, and the owner of a window treatment store in Oregon City, according to a statement he posted to YouTube on January 5th and his LinkedIn page, both of whom have since been removed. Area first responders are hoping to make a splash with their latest acquisition, a new boat designed to increase response capabilities on our waterways. The 21-foot SJX ultralight aluminum jet boat is designed to operate in the shallowest of conditions, including water levels approaching 2 inches. The Clackamas Fire Swiftwater Rescue Team is a highly trained team of firefighters who respond to water-related emergencies using advanced rescue techniques and equipment. The team is also a participating member of the Clackamas County Water Rescue Consortium, which includes water rescue professionals from many of the different fire departments, law enforcement agencies, and districts in Clackamas County. Regional service is provided throughout Clackamas County, including the Clackamas and Willamette Rivers. The team has been trained on the new boat, which is now in service and will be housed at Station 19 in Damascus. Clackamas Fire requested funding back in 2018 from the State Preparedness and Incident Response Equipment, that's SPIRE. That's a grant program offered through the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, which is used to build up emergency infrastructure and improve emergency response. As part of the SPIRE grant, the boat can be called on to respond to flood emergencies throughout the state in addition to local response. Although the state of Oregon purchased the apparatus, Clackamas Fire is responsible for its maintenance, staffing, and response. Clackamas County Commissioners this week allocated more than $2.23 million in American Rescue Plan, that's ARPA funds, to cover the cost of a hotel-motel emergency sheltering program that includes 43 units. The Board of Commissioners approved the allocation at a policy session on Tuesday, November 2nd. The county has received an estimated $40.6 million in ARPA funds since the bill was signed into law in March of 2021 and is expected to receive a total of nearly twice that amount when all is said and done. The funds have some strings attached but are meant to provide emergency relief funding to local governments responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Before this earmark, the county had allocated about $17.2 million. County officials say the new $2.23 million in funding will go towards advancing goals associated with its supportive housing services and case management programs, including helping vulnerable residents successfully transition into permanent housing with wraparound services such as behavioral and physical health care, education and employment assistance, and landlord communication and dispute resolution. Other funding will go toward long and short-term rental assistance for extremely low-income households experiencing or at risk for homelessness, eviction prevention, including such resources as back rent and unpaid utility bills, housing placement and navigation, emergency and transitional shelter, and outreach. Officials say the funding will dramatically increase the county's ability to reach its emergency housing goals. With the ARPA funding, the county will be able to provide supportive housing and long-term rental assistance to 230 units each, compared to 205 and 200, respectively. Officials say the hotel-motel emergency sheltering program is a continuation of efforts that started in response to the COVID-19 pandemic as a way to provide highly vulnerable people experiencing homelessness with a safe place off the streets in a non-congregate setting. Cougar Country Hometown Sports Coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsicker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, you can follow us on Twitter at @CougarCountryOR. The Wilsonville Wildcats came, saw, and conquered at Cougar Stadium Friday night, downing Canby in an impressive fashion in the highly anticipated showdown between the top two ranked league rivals. Though Canby showed flashes of the freewheeling offense and stingy defense that has largely defined their resurgent 2021 season, the Wildcats' undefeated record was really never in doubt as they galloped out to a 17-0 halftime lead en route to a convincing 38-12 victory. It was the second act between the two would-be crosstown rivals after the Cats walloped an injury-plagued Cougar squad earlier this spring at the end of the COVID-shortened 2020-21 season. Canby was much healthier and more confident in this go-round, though the final score in the rematch was remarkably similar to last year's. The Wildcats, who have not lost a game since the 2019 state quarterfinals, also claimed the NWOC West League title with Friday's victory. Wilsonville scored in almost every way imaginable, with two offensive and defensive scores apiece, a special teams trick play, and a field goal. The dominant performance ensured that the packed stands of Cougar faithful, including a student section decked out in Halloween attire, never became a factor in the game. Wilsonville taught us a good lesson, Cougar head coach Jimmy Joyce told Now Hear This Canby afterwards. This is what playoff football's all about. While the 38-12 drubbing at home will sting, there is still good news. With the OSAA rankings freezing at midnight on Friday, the Cougars have locked in a number 4 ranking in the state and will have two possible home matchups to start the playoffs. Canby has since drawn Lebanon, which is 4-5 and 3-4 in Mid-Willamette Conference play, for their first playoff game of the year, and Gibson knows him and his team will use the loss on Friday as an opportunity. It's not we lost, it's we're learning, Gibson said. It's one of the best things about this game. Each and every day, you're learning no matter what. The Cougars have qualified for their first playoff game since 2014 and the first home playoff game since 2013. And even in their down years, the Canby community has rallied around football. Oh, you don't have to worry about the atmosphere here in Canby, Joyce said. Even when we were 0-7, it was still packed. I'm just excited about playing a meaningful game in November. Expect a loud and joyous crowd as Canby celebrates a raucous return to playoff football Friday. Kickoff time is 7 p.m. at Cougar Stadium. And that'll do it for the news on this edition of Now Hear This Canby. I'm James Walton. As always, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
At the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short, scary stories for Christmas.
Short, scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. It depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for.
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently and some really cute kids' cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids or starting to train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting till Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work out.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year. So get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now.
All right.
I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours? Because we also have Amy in the studio with us. What's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I'm an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldone. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
And the Canby Conversation today, or Cougar Country. It's sort of like a mashup podcast that we're doing today. But we are excited to welcome on Maddox Oliver. He is a local Canby High School athlete and fan. Hey, Maddox, welcome onto the show.
How's it going, guys?
And you know him as the sportsman.
Yeah.
Just all-time Cougar fanatic.
Every game.
Yeah.
I'm there.
He's there. Tyler Clausen, my partner in crime. Tyler, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah.
Hard question.
Sure.
But just why do you love sports so much?
You know, going into the divisions, we're going to be having a real tough fight, and I want to make sure that our team is properly supported, you know, for the offense and defense, and make sure that all of the turf is taken care of.
Yeah.
So that we can get on
the balls. Got to
make sure the balls are taken care of. You know, I just really want to root for the team, you know, and that's what I love is rooting for the team.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure they score those scores.
Yeah. And when we get to regionals, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of regionals, Maddox, we'll start talking to somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yes, please.
Maddox and the Cougar Boys cross country team, you had your Three Rivers League. Not Three Livers.
Nope. I hope not.
That'd be a different competition.
Yeah.
cross country. country championship. You guys finished third in the money, earned a bid to the state finals for the first time in 15 years. Yep, congratulations.
That's right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Maddox was actually the top finisher for our team, finished sixth.
Nice. That's awesome.
Had this just incredible finish where you were seventh, you caught the guy right at the end. What were you thinking there, that finish? Did you have like some energy left, or what was going through your head?
Well, going into that last mile, all I can really remember is Coach Millbrook. He told me I was in seventh place, which I was like, what the? Like, okay, it's time to go. But yeah, I was getting pretty tired towards that last end. I feel like I was trying to give it all my best. But I think me and the guy who was ahead of me at the time, his name's Cooper Wood.
Super nice guy. From Lake Ridge, right?
Lake Ridge. Super nice guy.
Who won the meet.
Right. Yeah. Lake Ridge did win the meet as a team pretty handily. But we were pretty neck and neck that whole last mile. And I think probably with about 400 meters to go, he took a lead. And I kind of let him go for it a little bit. And then we come around that bend in the track the last 100 meters. And I don't even know how to describe it, but something kind of just clicked in me. And it was like an overcoming motivation of, I got to beat this guy. And because I really wasn't 100% sure of what place I was in, and I didn't want to risk a individual state title bid.
Yeah, so yeah, just yeah. Because if you finish, obviously Canby did manage to make it as a team, but if that doesn't happen, the top seven individuals,
correct,
right? So you were hoping to punch your own ticket and hopefully help your team as well.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, so at that point, it just was almost like a battle of wills more than anything else.
Exactly,
so.
And I'm glad I came out on top.
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel kind of looking back? Was that one of your best performances of your career so far, your junior?
Yeah, I think that was probably the most memorable.
Yeah.
So far, definitely. I've been training for this race for almost a year now.
Yeah.
And just to finally have a result like that and just all that hard work pay off it's probably my most memorable run of my career.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the way that the rest of your team came through, able to finish high enough to get you guys to that third
place? It was a pretty exciting deal. It was our goal all season to make it that high, and I think we all worked really hard for it.
Yeah.
Me and my other captain, Tom O'Neill, really tried to get our guys to buy in, to put in hard work and practice every single day, and to just see that result come out on top, it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, yeah. So before we talk about states, I want to ask you, just kind of going back, how you wound up in the sport that you're in with cross country. You looked at, you know, I can run and shoot a ball. I can run and hit people. And you decided, you know what? I'm going to keep it simple. Just
running. Run.
How did you wind up with cross country as your main sport? I think you might have done others as well.
Yeah, I used to play basketball and baseball, but now I just run. How I actually got into cross country is our co-host, who's not here this evening, Jack Joyce, in eighth
grade. Fellow team member?
Yes, yeah. Yes. In eighth grade, he ran and I didn't. And all year, he's like, you just got to try it. You got to try it. You got to try it. And I was really skeptical at first, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I wasn't really all that willing. And then, you know, I finally said, fine, I'll try it. And
I mean, to be honest, you're trying to convince someone to just run. Like, obviously, you're skeptical. I was skeptical throughout until now. So
now he's a runner.
Yeah, I've started running. It's kind of, no, not even a little bit.
And I went out first day of practice. It was, I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah.
Had my first ever middle school race, which is way different than high school.
Yeah.
But I think I placed like sixth or seventh individually. And I was like, wow, I'm kind of good at this.
Yeah.
And then I kept with it through my freshman year.
Right.
And I wound up being a varsity placer my freshman year.
Nice.
And I realized I think I can kind of go somewhere with this.
Absolutely.
And I think my ceiling was a lot higher in the sport than it was anywhere else. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put all my eggs in this running basket.
Right.
And yeah, I kind of kept with it, and I've basically been running full time ever since.
Right. Is it ironic wanting to go somewhere with the sport where you start and then run multiple miles and wind up basically at the exact same place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If Jack ever does, so obviously you're a very talented athlete, but if Jack Joyce ever does want to really try out his salesmanship, you should come in here and try to convince us to be runners. That would be the real challenge.
Yeah. A 330-pound guy with asthma. Let's see that evangelism happen.
So coming into the state championships, do you have some thoughts about kind of what it's going to be like for the Cougars, how you guys might match up, or who some of the top performers might be from other schools?
Yeah, so our goal going in is to try and be – so we obviously took third in our conference. So our main goal is to try and beat the other third-place finishers in other conferences and maybe some of the second places.
How many teams will be there?
21 teams, okay. And then other individuals from other schools.
Yeah.
So, but there's supposed to be like 200-something runners.
It's
A lot. I've never personally raced in a race that big.
Is it like the Hunger Games at first? Or people just like elbowing and jabbing?
Yes, actually. Believe it or not, cross country is more of a physical sport than some people would believe. You got to fight for position. They're just pushing and shoving.
I saw that at the end of your race. Cooper Wood, his reaction was to sort of push you when you slip by.
I ran by him and he grabbed my jersey a little bit. And I was like, is he going to tug me back?
Something doesn't seem right. I saw that, yeah.
And while we were running, it was so that day.
I have no idea if that's allowed in the rules or not.
I don't either, to be completely honest. But we're running and the course was not up to par.
Very wet.
Very wet, very muddy, very slippery.
Yeah.
And we go out and there's some funky turns that like kind of throw off your rhythm. Mm. And a different Lakeridge guy slipped and in the process kind of ended up like slapping me in the chest.
Oh, no.
And I was like, thanks, dude. Anyways.
Yeah.
So,
no, but you did see that in the guys, you know, when you're finishing, you're like all mudded up. Mm-hmm. And I'm only at the track part of it taking photos. So I'm like, how are these kids getting so muddy?
Yeah.
Like,
but you're not in the field part.
Not in the field part. Yes. Apparently, I was told that's where I was supposed to go to get photos, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. And we have Milbrook, our coach Tom Milbrook, give us a slip of like some of the fastest Canby teams we've ever had, and our goal going into it is to try and be in the top 10 of that.
Okay,
nice.
And then individually, I want to run my like fastest time ever, and I want to be my senior captain for my freshman year, Matthew Powell, and then
legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Cole Thomas, if you know Cole Thomas. I want to try and beat their times just to say I did it.
Yeah, yeah. Is this a particularly fast course?
We went down as a team on Saturday and raced it. Yeah. I mean, weather permitting.
Right.
It's very grassy. It's like similar to our district's course. It's very like a lot of grass. And so there's going to be a ton of runners because we're the last race.
Yeah.
So it might be a little beaten up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I hope so.
Yeah. What's it like going into a race where you're running miles and miles and you're coming to the end? You know, Frankie kind of asked this at the beginning, but I'd like to touch on it again. The idea that you're coming to the end of the race. Are you tapped out of energy? Are you like, is there a reserve that you just kind of, you've learned your body, you know what you've got? Or are you just good for days? Like what area are you at the end of this race?
Well, it's funny you asked that because, I mean, you obviously have to try and pace yourself because you can't just go out, like, as hard as you can because you just don't have the lung capacity to go out for 3 miles and do that.
Right.
But I think there's also an adrenaline factor. Like, when you see the finish, like, most runners, like, get an adrenaline, and you can kind of find an extra gear to keep going.
Yeah.
And then there's also, like, the people in front of you and behind you that kind of keep you motivated and keep you on your heels. Mm. So, but, like, opposed to like running by yourself, it's a little harder to stay motivated.
Yeah,
sure.
It's honestly more up here. It's more in your mind than it is physically.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I say I never ran, I did run in high school just because I was a high schooler. I was in weights class and I wanted to go out and run. And it was really nice to be able to just kind of go out. You're on your own. I would throw in some headphones back in those days that you'd have to have a disc
like a Walkman
I know, like, for me back when I was doing that, it was nice to be able to run and just kind of you're in your own head, you're in your own space, you're doing your thing. Is that different when you're surrounded by people? Are you chatting? Are you constantly thinking about the race itself, or do you just kind of find
your own space? I think for me, the most important part at like the start of a race is just getting comfortable and trying to find a rhythm. You don't really find yourself talking to guys the whole time. At least that takes air.
That takes breath, right?
Yeah, it can throw off your breathing cadence and all that. But I mean, not at this level. I know at the college level, there's actually a decent amount of it. And like, I'll talk to, like, if I'm with a teammate or something, I'll be like, hey, like, look, let's stay together in this pack, and like, let's go get the next guy. But other than that, yeah, you just kind of trying to keep a breathing rhythm and just kind of get in the zone and like, just kind of tune everything out.
Yeah. Mm. As much as I joke, I also ran in high school.
Nice.
I was not very good, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was at the Three Rivers League districts, the last kid, he came running around the corner, and you could hear because like everyone, the kids are like cheering on. He was from Oregon City, and that's where it was. So they knew him. They were shouting his name, like, you know, giving him encouragement and stuff. Comes around the bend. He looked exactly like me in high school.
Yeah.
It was like bizarre. Yeah. And he finished last.
Yeah.
Like trying to find him after, like, make sure I hadn't met his mom earlier.
Right. Have you ever been to me?
Have we ever met? Any other thoughts going into states?
I mean, for other schools, I'm excited. So our TRO winner, Caleb Lakeman, congratulations to him. He just committed to Georgetown. I don't know
awesome.
If he'll be listening to this, but if he does. I think it's going to be between him. Let me look at my notes here. I think it's going to be between him, Aiden Smith from Lincoln, and Charlie North from Franklin. I think it could go either way for those guys. Those guys are all very talented runners.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of excited. I guess I won't really see them because I'll be participating. But
yeah.
I think they will, like, it'll be between those guys for the 6A state title for the boys.
And a lot of times you do see the personal best and the personal records in these races for multiple reasons. One, the adrenaline and the, you know, of the moment, like you've mentioned, and as well, like, you've got, like, the top of the top competition and the way that pushes you and pushes each other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then for the – as teams-wise, I think it's probably going to be between Jesuit, Central Catholic, or Lincoln.
Like it always is.
Exactly. Big shock.
In every sport.
Big
Jesuit
shocker there. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
And then for the girls.
As you well know, Tyler.
Yeah. I mean, I follow it all.
Always with the Jesuit.
If you want to explain it to the audience.
Right.
You're saying that they win everything.
Yeah. I just looked over and you were so bored because you obviously knew that.
It's like – Yeah, I just got off the phone talking to people about this.
Sorry.
No, you're fine, man. No illusions.
We got to explain it.
I don't want people to think for one second.
Got to explain it to the listeners. What about for some of the non-private schools, right?
That's a great question. Probably Lincoln.
Yeah.
Sunset.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to say Lakeridge because they're more of like, they're kind of not on the faster, they're not on the slower end, but they're not on the faster end either. They just have a lot of like, what's the word?
Well, that was the thing in the districts. They were just this one big clump.
Exactly.
Their team
spread was really small and they had a lot of guys finish with decent times, but like right at all at the same time.
Their
so their
top
point
one
their,
was Cooper in it, seventh.
Exactly.
And then they were like seventh or 12th.
Exactly. So their point spread ends up being a lot better for anyone who doesn't know. Cross country is like golf where you want the lowest score.
Yeah.
With the perfect score being 15. And I think the best private school will probably be Lincoln or Sunset.
Yeah. That's almost like a lot of times like a de facto champion unto itself is like the best public school. It's like, yeah, the champion is going to be Jesuit or Central Catholic.
But gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all going for second.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for telling us about that. Obviously, we got a little bit of other sports news to talk about with Canby football. We're in the playoffs for the first time since 2014. We have a home playoff game for the first time since 2013. We're going to be playing Lebanon. They're 13-seeded coming into Cougar Stadium. What are some of your thoughts on the game?
You know, last week was not – I'm going to touch on last week
really
quick.
Last week was disappointment.
Disappointing to say.
Wildcats, Wilsonville Wildcats came to town. It was this really hyped up matchup between, like.
I was there. I actually went to that game. I was there.
Big
deal.
Yeah. And they showed us why they're one of the top teams in 5A and have been for many years. Yes. We're the new kids on the block.
Yeah.
So.
It was. The students
were a reality check after a season against a lesser competition to go against Wilsonville, and they were ready for it.
Absolutely. But I think, I mean, I don't, Lebanon has a 4-5 record, but I don't like, I don't think we should look at that and be like, oh, this is, I don't want, write them off immediately. They have some quality wins. They've played some good teams close.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think, we just need to go out there, have confidence. I think we need to control the offensive and defensive line. Like last week, Wilsonville just looked like they were a lot bigger than us.
Yeah.
A lot stronger. So I think if we can do that, I think we'll be in a good shape. I think we need to take advantage of play action.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, everyone sees our star sophomore running back, Tyler Canold, and is like, holy cow, we need to stop this guy at all costs.
Yeah.
But I think what's really underrated is we have two really good wide receivers in Joe Brockmiller and Matthew Soles.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can utilize them really well, I think it'll be – we should coast through this game pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested, you know, looking at the Wilsonville game, I feel like the mentality of it really got to the Cougars that mm-hmm. they that very first drive, you almost just saw the second drive of the Wildcats offense, but their first touchdown drive where they just methodically, you know,
just
efficiently went 85 yards down, kept moving the sticks just again and again and again, and you just felt like the fight kind of went out of them at that point.
I feel like they kind of sucked the air out of the Canby football balloon.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was really hard to watch, especially.
It's hard to work on the mental side of the game when you're repeatedly all throughout the season in places that you haven't been in many years, you know, that these specific athletes have never been in.
Exactly. Yeah. Like we walked through the games pretty much all like the whole season,
right.
And I think
which we had never done before.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a first.
We're in the playoffs again. These guys have never been there before. Even like you said, it's 4-5, whatever. But everyone's 0-0 in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think we just got hit with some adversity, and I don't know if we know how to handle it. But now that we do, I think we're going to be in much better shape. And I think that was a wake up call.
Yeah,
it's a much needed slap in the face.
Yeah. Any thoughts you had or questions, Tyler?
No, I mean, I went to the game. I watched it, and, you know, we had talked a little bit about it beforehand. You had hoped that it had been a little bit closer of a match.
Yeah. I did. yeah, it was disappointing. I was disappointed for the kids.
And, having the Wildcats have control of the ball for so long, you know, at a certain point, I kind of stuck to one side of the field just kind of waiting for a good shot because I was doing photos. That's why I was there.
Yeah.
We had some breakout moments. There was at least one catch that, I mean, even I'm not a sports fan where, you know, it was halfway down the field and he caught it. And I was like, all right, great. We're showing up. This can turn around. And then the momentum was just gone. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Kept having some bad luck with turnovers. There was the one turnover that everybody talks about. I think it was Matt Soles who got hit on the catch.
Yeah, fumbled.
Yeah. Yeah. About the first meaningful yard gainage we were going to get of the game and just got absolutely flattened. Ball came loose.
And they picked it up and scored.
Scored right there. That was kind of the like super deflating moment.
Sure.
Just watching it. So I watched them play Wilsonville earlier in the spring at the end of quote unquote last season, you know, mm-hmm. spring of
whatever
of
that
this
was.
Year. Well, yeah. So it wasn't last fall. It was the end of the last school year. And we were really banged up. We were really hurt. We had lost, you know, pretty much everybody to injury. Our quarterback was played, but he was like literally limping around,
hobbling around.
Yeah, hobbling around for like half of the game, and you just got the sense that they just never really had a chance.
Sure.
You know, they were just shorthanded and outmatched, which I don't believe was the case in this game. You know, I think that they the score doesn't reflect as well, and they didn't play as well as they could have, and as well as they actually do match up. I think that they got minded, I guess.
I think so. I think very quickly they were, you know, kind of pressed into a corner, and then there it was deflating. But something that I watched, I mean, I left after I had packed up, and, you know, I kind of watched for a while.
Yeah.
And something that I saw in our guys was there's still a fighting spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a moment where I was like, they've given up.
Right.
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 They were pushing and pushing and pushing. It was, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what you like. They will lose inevitably, but there's no reason why they're not going to fight from every angle that they can. So yeah. That was really cool. It was really nice to watch a team who doesn't give up. They still put in 110%.
Yeah.
You know, because they're on the field, they're going to play.
Yeah. Well, like you said as well, I think, Maddox, going into the playoffs, you know, those lessons had to come at some point, and it is good, as disappointing as it was to watch and for these kids and athletes to experience, I'm sure, you want those lessons to come in the regular season, right, and not
right.
in a meaningful game, to win or lose game. So
yeah exactly. I mean, yeah, I think we'd gone like, what, 6 or 7 weeks just walking through the park, so I think some adversity is really good for these guys, and it's tough us to watch as a student, and I felt really bad for the players after you saw a lot of guys crying and all this stuff, which you don't want to ever see. But I think it serves a really good lesson, and it like shows that I think we're going to be a lot tougher, and I don't think that we're going to – I think what really sucked for Cammy is I think they had a really slow start, and they kind of just dug too deep of a hole to get out of, and I think that can be avoided now that they've seen what it looks like on full display.
Are we going to overcompensate in this next game? Like, man, we really want to come back hard.
And so we're going to win like by like 60 points.
Yeah. We're just going to beat the crap out of these guys as we like, man, Cougars, chill out.
Hey man, it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see. I think that our record is like 65 points. So see if we can beat that. The game is going to be this Friday at home, 7 p.m., playing Lebanon, as we've said. Just talk a little bit about the next round. You know, assuming that we do make it through, I think a game that a lot of folks are watching and have highlighted is Thurston.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up against Ridgeview, assuming that they advance. They're seeded fifth, which is weirdly low, I believe, and a lot of people think they're one of the favorites to win the overall state this year.
Yeah, if you look at like their record and like who they've played and who they beat, they've blown everybody out.
Yeah,
it's they haven't had a game that's remotely close.
They had to forfeit a couple, I think, early in the season because of quarantine. They either had the forfeit or maybe they just didn't play, but they had to quarantine, and that softened up their ranking and their some of their RPI.
Okay.
But yeah, the games that they have actually played, and a lot of these things, especially in a short season like high school football, it's not their fault. You can only play the teams that are in front of you, right?
Exactly. I think that'll be a really exciting game, especially if we get it.
And we'll be at home.
We'll be at home.
Yeah, which is a lucky break for us.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really watched Thurston. I'm not going to go out and it's really hard at the high school level to just get film of any school. But they sound like they're a really good opponent. I think it'll be a tough test for us.
Yeah.
And then if we manage to win that, then we got a rematch with Wilsonville.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In Wilsonville. Will be exciting. Okay. Well, this has been really fun. We've got some great sports to watch. The state championships for cross country are going to be Saturday, the day after the game, at Lane Community College in Eugene.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck to you and
Thank
your
you.
Team,
I appreciate
Maddox.
That.
Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to some Cougar cross country and football. Do we want to do like a Go Cougars?
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Three?
Yeah.
Yeah. One, two, three.
Go Cougars!
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432.
Welcome to the Canby Hall Pass promo series, spotlighting outstanding restaurants and stores in our community. The Hall Pass offers up to $100 in savings and benefits the Canby Educational Foundation. Get yours at the Chamber Office or the Book Nook in downtown Canby, a program of the Clackamas County Business Recovery Center made possible by the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce in Clackamas County.
Okay, and now on the Canby Hall Pass promo series, I guess I should call it the Halloween Pass, right? We got Halloween coming up. Matt Morrissey, Wayward Sandwiches, and the newly opened Siren Song. You have your costume already, I presume?
I do.
Yeah. Is it a secret? Or?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to be the captain from Jaws.
Quint. Oh, okay.
Quint.
Yeah. I like it. You've got that look.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to do a little trimming here.
Yeah.
But I've grown it out a little bit. So, yeah.
You going to do the voice?
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think, you know, because we'll have the chamber thing, the ribbon cutting. So, you know, I was going to maybe do like a little speech or
right.
something with the,
right.
you know, the Quint voice.
Right.
We'll
right.
see. We'll
right.
see.
Well, this is obviously an odd question for, you know, I've been into Wayward probably about 400 times at this point. But I guess for the one person listening to this who doesn't know, tell us about Wayward Sandwiches.
Sure.
What do you do? What can you find there?
So we are, we've been open for a couple of years now, and Wayward Sandwiches is at its core a sandwich shop. But it is a lot more than that. We source all of our food as locally as possible,
mm-hmm.
And we make everything from scratch, with the exception of the bread and the cheese that we buy in. So we are, not your average sandwich shop.
Yeah.
We are also a full-service wine shop, and are working on kind of growing that end of the business. We've recently started up a wine club that's going over really well, and we're finally now that it seems like the pandemic is knock on wood waning here, we're gonna focus on some of the other things that we've wanted to do from sort of day one, which is some wine dinners and adding brunch service and a few other things. So
finally that Cajun chicken.
Yeah,
I've been hearing, so that's an inside joke. How and why did you get into this business?
That's a good question. I had my first job when I was a kid, was at a little deli, and I was an assistant baker and dishwasher, and so I just kind of stuck with it through high school and college as a means to make money. By the time I was done with college, I was managing a bar in Boston, I just have always enjoyed the work, and as it became time to choose a real career, I just sort of kept wanting to stay in the restaurant business, and so you get to a certain point, two, 3 years ago, however long, where I really felt like if I was going to keep doing restaurant work, I needed to do it for myself and be an owner and open my own spot. So here we are.
Sink or swim on your own merits.
Exactly.
Love it. Well, thanks for choosing Canby, by the way. We needed it so badly. To what do you attribute the success that you've had so far?
I think honestly we work hard at bringing sort of an authenticity to what we do. And we really enjoy, I think first and foremost, the food's delicious and the service is good. And, and we have worked hard, to become a part of the community.
Yes.
And I think that all of those things, are ultimately, sort of the secret to anyone's success,
right?
Ours included. There's one thing, I think that we've been successful at getting, relaying our message, about our food and what it stands for. And I think people have embraced that.
Right. I think you nailed it with the quality of the food, right? Like, it's one of those things where sometimes you can get lucky and you can get by with just that, but you do need this other, the promotional skill and the ambiance and the skill with sort of having that vision that you have as well and that you and your team have. But at the end of the day, you can't succeed with just that, you don't have that thing. So, I know you get tired of hearing this. You guys opened in October of 2019, just in time for the pandemic and all of the changes and the chaos that wrought on your hospitality industry. Not to bring up that PTSD, but it is on my list of questions here. What do you think was key to surviving that period with the pandemic and recovering now? And again, knock on wood, the wake of it. So
I think it was just really not being stagnant. I think we were just prepared to do whatever it was going to take, and so that's what we did. We just kept on working through, trying new things, different promotions, and just kept moving, and I think that people could sense the effort that we were putting into it, and I think people responded to that. It was you just have to be sort of flexible, because one day to the next you didn't know if you were serving indoor or outdoor or just what it was looking like, you just had to sort of have an ability to roll with the punches and not get too discouraged about any of it.
Absolutely. All right, last question, Matt, and one of my favorites. I always love to ask people, what's something that most people might not know about you? Could be a hobby that you have, something you really enjoy, could be a special skill that you don't showcase very often, or maybe an achievement that you're proud of, something you've accomplished. Just something from your past.
Something about me. I was a I represented the state of Washington and at nationals in high school policy debate.
Oh, cool.
That interesting. Is that's a fun fact about me. I didn't in high school I was an okay debater.
Interesting. Yeah. At that time, high school, Matt was not planning on going into a career in sandwiches.
No. Okay. High school, Matt. You know, no. I don't know what high school Matt exactly thought he was going to be doing.
Okay, but probably
not.
You weren't planning to parlay those debate skills into negotiations with pastrami vendors.
No.
And stuff. Okay.
And I'm not a very good negotiator, if we're being honest. So I don't know. You know, either that skill set just never came through in the debate, or you know, my skills have just deteriorated.
It would be really fun to do like a structured debate about sandwiches. I would get a real kick out of that. Well, Matt, it's been a delight as always to talk to you. Thanks for being part of the program today.
Thanks.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.